Brother North said that. We're going to commence to begin to start to think about getting ready. That's what he used to say. Well, everybody looks pretty tan and rested, so I guess it's been one of those weeks, which is good. Hadn't been a lot of stress this week, maybe for some of us. So Michael's all tan and everything, been to Cocoa Beach. Muriel looks ready to. All the teachers look like they're just itching to go back to school. Just looks like it's about that time. So.
Well, Jonathan's ready to go.
Oh, he looks excited. Yeah.
We are trying to start class, you people. And
oh, security is spoken. Security is spoken. Joey's official, he's now officially in the security because they brought him a donut this morning. So he's an official security person now. So
I handcuffed my wife, but she's used to that.
Just kidding.
I stay in the room.
So just to recap a little bit from last week, I did want to say a couple of things in response to Russ's lesson this morning that I thought of. And he talked about putting what we teach up here, or, you know, teachers putting things into practice. And of course, you know, Nate had said something about being a, what's the word I'm looking for? What did he say last week? He was a
hypocrite. Yeah.
Anyway, sometimes the subjects that I teach up here are something that I've either struggled with or that I feel like I need to study. And so that doesn't mean I'm trying to tell you how I do it. I'm telling you what I've studied and what the Bible says when I teach these things. But when we tell each other these things and we teach, we need encouragement from each other to keep trying to practice the things that we are talking about in here. And then we also need a guidance from the Holy Spirit, and we also need prayer to try to help us live and practice what we preach, which is a very hard thing to do, and we can all be hypocritical at times. But anyway, it's things in particular for me. I really, topics of interest to me, it's something that's probably, if I've taught it, it's happened to me in the last few months, because it takes me about a month to study. So in relation to what he said about the politics, you know, I know we're supposed to be into all peace and all that stuff, and live in peace together. But let me ask you, did God's great leaders like Moses and David, did they just lay down and let the world run over them, or let? No. God, he gave us free will to choose, but he also gave you and I the wisdom and the ability and the freedom to help put people into leadership positions that will help stand for the type of people and the character that's demonstrated in the Bible. So I just wanted to, as Jonathan said, you don't have to apologize for being a Christian in America. You don't need to apologize for that. And you don't have to lay down and bow down to and adapt to everybody else's way. Stand for what you believe. I think that we have left that out these days. I think that we are not supposed to do that anymore. We're supposed to sort of lay down and adapt to other people's methods. Sean's got a microphone. Will somebody read the passage in that Matthew chapter 6? Oh, we lost something, Sean. Anyway, while we're working on the technical stuff here, who's got Matthew 6 that can? All right. Bill, you got it?
Yeah, what verse you want?
Matthew 6, about do not worry. The whole...
What's the verse?
It is 25, all the way to the end.
Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Cool.
Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you. So just picking up where we left off last week, I know we got to point number one, but I'm just going to reiterate. Point number one was that the very first thing that we're supposed to do is seek the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:33 that he read there, it's not, again, it's not about me. It's about God. And then we talked about the two words for what is the kingdom, and here we're talking about the reign or the rule of God. And that is the kingdom that we're seeking. We talked about how worry clogs our hearts and our minds, and how it just prevents us. It clogs the pathway and pushes out room for where God has less room. And we also talked about, you know, do we really believe that will God take care of us? And again, God expects us to do our part. It doesn't mean that we need to understand that it doesn't mean that we will never have any trouble. It means that Jesus will walk through our trials of life with us every step of the way. So let's get to point number two. Is to seek his righteousness. What is righteousness? Living right. It's talking about God's standard of excellence, which our example is Jesus. He's the standard that we try to strive to be like. And we shouldn't be comparing our Christian walk or service or attitudes or obedience with the way that anybody else is trying to do it. Jesus is the standard that we try to exemplify. The man, the guy that loved you and that died for you, that's who we are trying to be the example, or set the example. We aren't clothed in our own righteousness. We can't make ourselves righteous. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. If we depended on our own righteousness, what would we get? What would we get? If we didn't have Jesus and his righteousness, what would we get? Death. Yeah, we would die. We don't have, that would be, the terminal end of life would just be it, which is when we leave this earth, we've got a whole nother eternity ahead of us. So how are we supposed to seek the righteousness of Jesus? And Mark 12:30 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So if we are to seek God and His righteousness, when do you think that we are most like God? Anybody? It's when you're forgiving, you're most like God. When you forgive other people, you're most like God. And boy, these days, that's kind of a tough thing to do sometimes, to forgive others, but not only that, but to forgive ourselves. But who carries the most weight? The person who did wrong or made the mistake or was misunderstood, or the person who carries around the anxiety, the stress, and the anger because they just can't let it go? Two major parts of our Christian walk is giving, but also forgiving. Point number three, if we're going to get our priorities in order and God comes first, then who comes second? Well, look at this picture. Are the children above the husband, ladies? Husbands, are the children above the wife? Christ has to come first, then our spouse, then our children. And that's tough to do sometimes. We do put our children sometimes ahead of our spouse. The number one cause of an anxious heart is unresolved disappointment in others. We need to resolve things that are unfinished in our relationships with our family and others in order to release the anxiety that lies deep within us about those unfinished things and to be reconciled with that person. And again, what does reconciled mean? It means brought back together. We have peace and we're brought back together. Point number four, let's look at Philippians 4:6 again that we read last week. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, what are our priorities? So we started off, we're to seek God and His standards. We're to seek the righteousness of Jesus. Then our family comes first, the husband, then the children. The husband and the wife come first, then the children. Then the fourth thing is to tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done, as we just read in that verse. Tough list to prioritize to get all this right, isn't it? When we focus on Jesus and what He's done, and what He's done for us and what He will do for us, it helps us to get our priorities in order. This slide talks about sanctification. To live a fulfilled life, we must practice sanctification. What's sanctification?
It's the process of becoming holy or like God.
Yes, yeah. Becoming more holy and set apart from the world. And when we are, I think that's a lifelong process to be sanctified. It means that we're maturing in the Lord. Fulfillment comes from spiritual. It comes from the spiritual side, not the temporary. All that we see will pass away, like we talked about last week, but what is unseen will last forever. It's not logical to us in our human brain. If we can't touch it or see it or feel it, it's just hard to do that. But that is faith, and we live by faith, and we believe because of our faith in God. Again, prioritizing and trying to live holy and set apart, which is what we're supposed to do, is not easy. I don't know if you're like me. I'm my worst critic. Are you hard on yourself about how you live and trying to live this set-apart life, and you fail and you fall over and over again? Do you get discouraged when you don't live up to your own expectations? That's the hardest. Job 4:5 says, "But now when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You're terrified when it touches you." One day, you know, my name and your name is going to be called at the judgment. Might be that God says, we will now read the charges of sins, improper thoughts, etc., and we'll show a video of all the hidden cameras and the brain waves and thoughts that'll be converted to a format where you can see and hear all the things being caught in the act. How would you feel about that?
Pretty naked.
Oh boy. But then, we're standing there, and God himself has said that. And then he says to me, "But before you do that, how do you plead?" And then Jesus, my Lord and Savior, is going to get up and stand beside me, and he's going to say, "Father, I paid for all that. Not guilty. Send him to the place that's prepared for him." And he's going to do the same for all of us. That just sends chills up my spine. And many of you know the story about me having, if you've ever been in the court of law and you've been in a jury trial and you've been in front of a jury that's deciding your fate, it's terrifying. Hope none of you have to do that. 2 Corinthians 4:16. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our eyes and we gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Thoughts form our emotions, and emotions form our decisions, and decisions form our attitudes, and we can make a choice about how we're going to act. If we let our mind focus too much on all the wrong things in life and our faults, that changes our attitude, changes our decision on how we act. We can't let ourselves slip into places that won't be fixing our minds on things that we have no control over. This is why we have to set our minds on things above. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And we've been underneath a yoke in our lives, and sometimes we go back to that when we're hard on ourselves or we judge other people. What is that yoke he's talking about?
It's the teachings.
The law. Yeah, that's right. The law of all the commandments that we're supposed to try to live by. And it's impossible. We got to lay that down, because the law never talked about grace. We need to lay that down and look to Jesus and have faith in him. I'm the sinner, and only he can change my heart. My flesh is weak, manipulative, and greedy, and we have to pray to the Lord to help us every single day. thank goodness we're out from under that yoke of the law, and we're under grace. Galatians 5:1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and you don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law." Galatians 5:22 goes on to say, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against these things." Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, and let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of each other. There's the fruits of the Spirit. So to wrap this up, and then we'll have some comments or questions. Let's look at the priorities that we need to see us through this life to the end. So, number one, we said we need to seek God and his standards. We need to seek the righteousness of Jesus. We need to have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and practice giving and practice forgiving so that we can be more like God. We need to seek the right relationships with our family and with our friends and with this class. We need to pray to God about everything and thank him for all he's done for us and what he will do for us. We need to put God first in the most important parts of our lives: our family, our job, our finances. And then we need to let God take care of things that are beyond our control. And then what? And then, as that verse says, all these things shall be added to you to give you an abundant life. And I don't think we hear it enough. And I know, you know, our parents used to tell us all the time, and we used to sing it a lot, but Jesus loves you, and he loves me. Jeff, would you lead us in "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God"? And his, you remember that one? All right.
Can I do it from here?
You can. Joey, kill me for a minute.
Put it on. Turn it hot. Hot. There we go. Okay. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good. Thank you. Any comments, questions, thoughts, suggestions? I hope looking at this has helped you. This is nothing new. But, you know, we learn best if we hear things over and over and over again. And some of us have to be told more than once, a whole lot of us. But next week, Brandon will start his series. And then Larry, also, if you would like to teach, if you'll let me know, we're going to try to build a calendar out to the end of the year. We're still working on trying to find some class space for us. We have some ideas. We need the elders to approve it, and it may affect moving some other people, so we don't want to step on anybody's toes. But and then hopefully this fall we'll try to have our class planning session, our strategic planning session. We'll probably try to do that this fall after we get back in school and people are not on vacation. We'll probably do that on a Sunday night at some point. May take a couple of Sundays. We're not in any hurry, but we want to try to build this class, and you have your input on how we can grow and how we can make this class most beneficial for you, so that it can be for our good and His glory. So, and keep us close together. So, Glenn is going to lead us in our prayer. And Joey, you got announcements? So.
We got the women's retreats coming up. Is the deadline for early today. Bird registration today?
Today.
Early bird deadline is today.
Early bird deadline is today.
Prices will increase a bit, so register today. It's going to be a great retreat.
Lake Barkley?
Yeah, and we haven't been together up there since 2019.
Okay.
Pre-COVID.
Free what?
Pre-COVID.
I thought you said free Coke. I thought, oh, I mean, that's great. Like a fountain drink?
And pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, good. And then I think that's all the announcements I got. Does anybody have any announcements, anything else that they've got going on?
Ricky's got a birthday.
Yeah, I don't see him. Yeah, we were pushing for that last week, but he wasn't here either. All right. Any prayer requests? A couple of things while you're thinking about that. Sean, your friend, any word on the cancer?
Just that it is malignant. He's going to start treatments, and I don't think they're going to go for the kidney right away. But
Mark Gardner, is that right? Is that his name? Keep him in your prayers. And then Tracy Perkins' mother, has anybody got an update on her and her broken hip? Right. She seemed to be, I mean, just from comments, I think Mary, you were telling us the comments she made right after she did it. And,
yeah, she's got matching hair.
Yeah, right. Anybody? So does anybody else have any prayer requests?
I do.
Yes. Anybody else? Muriel?
Our middle son and his wife are currently driving to Austin. They are moving there. They both have jobs. And so this is just a big change for our family. Isaac went a couple of weeks ago and have an apartment. Both have jobs, teaching, coaching, all the things. But they've not been this far away for a while. So Austin, Texas is their new place.
All right. It's Isaac?
Isaac. Okay. And Carly. Carly was a good pastor, so a lot of people knew him.
So is that iCarly? Can we go with that? You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Earlier did not. Yeah. Keep me in your prayers, if you would. Anybody else?
Shannon.
Yeah, from Shannon. That's what I'm talking about.
Schools.
Yeah. Teachers are starting. Some of the teachers are starting this week, and I'm sure it's going to be as the counties start to begin, we'll start their in-service, and then all breaks loose after that. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm working today. So anyway. Anybody else? Glenn, if you would.
Lord, we thank you so very much for the bounty that you give us all, and we just ask you to always to help us keep you first in our lives and to set our priorities right. Lord, several have been mentioned today that they need your blessings, need healing, need hope, and need guidance, and need watchfulness. Just ask you to be with those and help us do what we can for them, Lord. But we know all healing comes from you, and just ask that for them. Be with those that need our encouragement, need our safety. Lord, we ask you to be with the teachers and the children as they go back to school soon, and just ask for a good environment for those and protection, and just give us a good normal school year for them, and so things can go well and children can get back to learning again and growing. Bless us now, we do, Lord. We thank you for this class, and just ask you to help us with our goals for this class, and help always our goals to be in line with your will. In all things, Lord, your will be done. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.